Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Quick word of warning, today's episode contains a lot of F-bombs and MF-bombs, so keep the kids away. I don't often like to categorize my friends. This person happens to be this ethnicity. This person is this religion. I just think of them as my friends. But for some reason, last night, this came up, and it occurred to me that I know and am friends with quite a few lesbians. I don't know how that happened. I'm very happy about it. And so I was kind of listing a lot of the friends I've made over the years who happen to be lesbians. And Christian grew silent.
For some reason, I instinctively got a little jealous. So I said, well, I know lesbians too, defensively.
Yeah, you got defensive.
I got defensive. And then you said, oh, really? Like who?
Innocent.
And then I thought, more, and then I racked my brain.
This long pause.
And I was like, I don't think I have any lesbian friends.
Well, you started getting paranoid that lesbians
they don't like
didn't
me.
Like you.
I know some of my ex-girlfriends who have ended up dabbling in lesbians.
That's right. Well, that
lesbianism.
Counts. This is, I'm guessing, after they dated you.
Yeah, well, that's a different podcast.
That's a different intro.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Life is Short. I'm your host, Justin Long.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
And with me, as always, is my brother, Christian.
Long. Hello.
Christian Zachary Long. Do you like that?
I don't love you giving away what the Z stands for.
Oh, sorry. Christian Z Long giving away. What else could Z stand for that you
Zeus?
Want to...
I used to say it's Zeus.
Zeus?
Yes.
How arrogant.
Well...
You think people...
Well, it would be arrogant of my parents, our parents.
Yeah, yeah. And also really, I mean, I hate to say this, misleading.
Hey.
Well...
No one knows. This is a podcast.
Now I'm racking my brain to think of more lesbians I know.
But one more thing that I would defend myself on. You, not only do you meet more people, but you went to a very liberal college.
That's right.
You went to a very liberal school where
that's right.
People were out of the closet and it was accepted.
Because where we grew up, Christian and I grew up in the suburbs of Connecticut. It was quite a, you know, sterile, suburban, and fairly conservative, I would say. I don't think anybody was out of the closet when I was in high school.
So the reason we're talking about this, it's rather tangential, but I think it's there.
Somewhere close.
Somewhere close. Other than Justin Long, another friend of lesbians is Larry David. And there's a very funny Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where it's all about he loses favor with the lesbian community and then
he's originally proud of his standing within the lesbian
and
community.
And then he loses favor with them and then he wins them back at the end.
And that, of course, is an episode that we've seen so many times. We're huge fans of. Our guest today is an integral part of that show. He is like the perfect foil for Larry David's comedic persona.
So our guest is J.B. Smoove, who plays Leon Black on Curb. And the thing with Curb is that the first 5 years was so brilliant. And I remember in season 6, the first episode, the storyline was Larry and Cheryl were taking in this family of people who had lost their home from Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
My first thought was, this feels a little gimmicky and not Curb-like. And I was afraid of them spoiling the chemistry that the show had so brilliantly for 5 years.
Yeah.
So I remember being apprehensive about it.
I remember thinking it's potentially offensive, too. Like, you're going to laugh at, like, a family from New Orleans. Like,
totally.
Like everything else on Curb, it was brilliant.
But it also speaks to our guest today and how brilliant he is.
Yeah.
That show went from being as good as it was for 5 years, and then he, I think, took it to another level.
Yeah,
I think he
yeah.
took it to a higher level, which just that alone is such an accomplishment.
It really is up there with somebody coming on Seinfeld or somebody coming into a comedic environment that is already so perfectly
established
and like well-oiled. It's like the fact that he came on and elevated that show and had the confidence to do that, to step up to that plate. You're playing with the best.
I had never met him, and he showed up with his wife, Shaw, who was really cool. He was so fashionable. He was wearing these dark sunglasses. He did like the cool guy handshake with me that I, you know, played obviously the beta role in where he kind of
the little spoon.
Yeah, he just took me in and did that handshake hug thing,
led.
Which I never know what to do. He totally led. But you had met him a couple times, but you ran into him in an airport once.
Yeah, in London. Not too long ago, I was doing a job in London, and he was on a layover, I guess, from Italy. I didn't know if he'd remember me, so I approached him kind of gingerly, because I had met him so briefly years ago on this show, Ed. He did an episode of... So I approached him a little bit tentatively, and he was like, "Ah, what's up, man?" And pulled me in and did such a, like, cool... And it just filled me with joy. He's such a present... positive person.
He's like a force of nature. He came in like, he's like a tornado. And he
directs just, everything.
He just has such presence.
Yeah, we're very different people. I kind of need to suss out the room, and he just
goes. You're like a morning sprinkle. You're like a dewy morning.
Yeah, like an overcast morning, a little bit of dew. He's a hurricane. He is a force. We're going on about Curb just because that's such a dear show to us. But JB also, we should mention, is a great stand-up. He has been performing for 20, 30 years. And he's also just lived such an interesting life. He's done so many things. I imagine he's the kind of guy who does everything in an entertaining way, you know. If he's working at Starbucks, he does so with, like, gusto.
Yeah.
And such good cheer.
He's very buoyant.
Yes. I want to discover where that comes from, because it's something I really admire, and gonna get into that and many other things with the incomparable JB Smoove right after this.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do 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 shaboo.
For all the shorties that want voluminous, fanned-out lashes, This ad is for you. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Their tapered brush catches every single lash, even those pesky corner lashes. You know who you are, corner lashes. With the Panorama Mascara, you'll easily achieve that effortless, false lashes look. It's one of Christian's favorite looks. Plus, it lasts up to 24 hours and is clump and flake resistant. And just when you thought it couldn't get better, it does. The Panorama Mascara is a lot more affordable than other luxe mascaras. And honestly, it probably does a better job. It's affordable, but it's deceptive because it comes in a premium gold luxe packaging. So if you want a mascara that can do it all, volumize, lengthen, and stay put all day, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
Here's what comedians have. Some comedians have written jokes.
Yeah.
Some of us have premises.
Uh-huh.
Premise. Fucking premise.
You go out there with a premise.
It's always expanding.
Uh-huh.
Because you use your ears just as much as your mouth.
But that's what you do on Curb too. You just kind of expand on these. You get kernels. You have like a skeleton.
I have a skeleton. I don't write the jokes out. Let them become what they are going to be in the moment.
Right.
So I might, if I throw it out again another time, it'll be totally different. It'll be a different ending, a different setup. So when I did Jerry's Comedian Cars Getting Coffee,
yeah,
you know, while I'm in the moment, every scenario, every word that comes out of his mouth.
Uh-huh.
Even just riding in the car with an arm out the window triggers a story, triggers a line, triggers a premise. None of that shit on Curb is written.
At all.
Zero. There's an outline as far as the whole episode.
God.
But the dialogue is all improvised.
Was that intimidating? That must be intimidating.
No, I fucking love it. I've been working in that form for years.
Right.
Just working in that form without structure.
So you thrive. I mean,
even when I'm on stand-up, sometimes there's a skinny elephant in the room.
Uh-huh. What is that? What do you mean?
It fucking means that I'm a skinny dude.
Yeah, huh?
And sometimes there's an elephant in the room that you got to address.
You got to address, yeah.
And that's improvised. You improvise that part. If you ignore certain things that everybody saw and everybody can see.
Like, what's an example? Give me an example.
You're on stage.
Uh-huh.
Somebody walks by looking for their seat.
Uh-huh.
The show's fucking started.
Yeah.
And you're walking back. You're just trying to... And you gotta stop in the middle of that bit,
yeah,
and say, "What the fuck is wrong, Grandma? Sit the fuck down." You cannot ignore Grandma,
right? But
you have to say, you know, somebody.
You got to address it.
Yeah,
tell you got to address that element.
You have it. There's certain things, like when I do shows, I like my first 10, 15 minutes to be of things about the city, things that I just saw, something in the room.
That must be why Larry connects with you. I mean, Larry does a version of that too. I mean, Larry David does. He observes, people might call it the minutia of life.
Yeah, he's good at that.
He's very, I mean, you both are. I mean, that's.
See, very good at that. I say this one thing all the time. I always use this as a metaphor.
Uh-huh.
My character, Leon, he ain't wrong. He's just not right.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? That is a way of thinking. That gives those two characters the yin and yang of what it is.
Yeah.
Like even in scenes, I got to sit there like, okay, it's something about being on a tightrope with no net. Even when you fall, there's something to it.
Oh, it's exciting.
It's like, ouch, I fucking fell. Yeah. But God damn it, I found something out in that fall. I don't think you always have to play the safe route with everything.
Yeah, right. Well, you certainly don't with Leon Black on Curb. Uh-huh. But it must help that Larry seems so, Larry David,
right.
Both the character and the person, they seem so tickled by you. You mm-hmm. crack him up constantly. That must...
We are interesting together on camera and off camera. For instance, Larry came to my birthday party, right?
Uh-huh.
300 people. Fucking amazing party.
What number birthday was this?
50.
How was he at a party?
He's fucking mess. He's a fucking mess.
Yeah, really? In a good way?
He fucking got there early as shit.
Oh, yeah?
He's fucking, like, people always ask me, how was real Larry compared to Larry on the show?
It's a good question.
And, of course, the Larry on the show is turned the fuck up.
Yeah.
But the real Larry has his little things.
Uh-huh.
His little quirks and shit. I have a birthday party. I invited Larry to the party. Now, I'm going to tell you, I didn't think Larry was going to fucking show up.
Uh-huh.
But Larry showed the fuck up to the party.
Uh-huh.
About fucking hour too early. He's fucking walking around the fucking party. I'm in the hotel room getting dressed.
Uh-huh.
I had my big party at the SLS hotel. And Larry calls the hotel room. Yeah. Where you at? I said, where the fuck are you at? I'm down here at your party walking around. I said, Larry, it's fucking, you know how early you are right now for my party? Where are you at? You coming down? No. I'm going to come when the party's full. So, Larry, why would I sit there and wait for people to fucking show up to my party? Why would I sit there in an empty-ass room
You're the main
waiting
attraction.
For one person at a time to show the fuck up?
You don't get there before the opening act?
No. I said, Larry, I gotta have a grand entrance.
Yeah.
Man, this fucking party was amazing.
So what, did he just wait down there by himself?
He fucking, with his hands in his suit jacket pulled back, with his little hands in his fucking pocket. Them goddamn sneakers, them corduroy pants. I know his whole shit.
Yeah.
I know his whole skino. He's very Larry David. He's very fucking Larry David.
I wish I could have seen that.
Meeting people, nodding his head, you know. But I'll tell you one thing. Larry had never been to a black party like that.
Uh-huh.
That fucking black party blew his fucking mind.
What did he say about, what was the difference between a black party and a white party? What's the big difference that he
knew? I had to let him know what goes down at a black party.
Uh-huh.
So what happened was, you know, I had Michael Buffer do an intro.
What?
No. My wife and I, man, we were fucking fresh dressed.
Uh-huh.
My party made the fucking internet. You can Google my goddamn party. Oh, fuck. We had custom made outfits on. It was a classic man, burlesque casino party.
Oh, wow.
I had old cars parked outside and shit. Man.
You really could have thrived.
I went hard.
Thriving in the
30s. That fucking bar. I told you that goddamn bar was high.
Yeah,
That bar is still up there.
You're like Gatsby.
I'm the great Gatsby.
The greater Gatsby.
The greater Gatsby. The great JB.
Greatest Gatsby.
Oh, this fucking party is amazing. 50th. So I'm walking to the party. I even had an Obama impersonator. And he did his whole Obama thing. JB, big birthday to my good friend JB Smooth.
The smoothest guy here
in the world. Happy birthday, buddy. Have a great one.
You know? Buddy.
Everybody. My wife and I. We had our grand entrance to the party. Theme, music, and everything.
Wow.
We walked through the party like the king and queen and shit. Larry is tailing me. He's right behind me walking with his hands in his pocket. His fucking hands in his pocket. With fucking Larry David sneakers and Larry David short pants on. With that goddamn suit jacket pulled back. Walking, you know. He's pissed off. No, he's pissed.
He had to wait.
That he had to fucking wait for me to come downstairs to my own fucking party. Hands in his pocket. Walking real slow.
Uh-huh.
We walk on stage together. Larry walks on stage right behind me on my tail. So I had my buddy hosting the party. So I had him. He had me in the microphone. And then I said, what the fuck are you doing, Larry?
In the microphone.
Larry turned on the microphone. So they hand Larry a microphone.
Oh, my God.
Hey, What's going on here? We're both on stage.
And now
this
it's
shit turned
scene.
Into a straight curb scene.
Oh my God.
Straight ass curb scene.
Oh, we're
going back and forth, argument about what took me so long to come downstairs. I said, Larry, who the fuck comes to a party this fucking early? You're here like 2 hours early, Larry. I said, this is a black party, man. Shit start late.
Well, what's the difference, black, white? Who cares?
I said, did you read the back of the... I said, did you turn the flyer over? He said, no, I didn't turn the flyer over.
What?
There you go. On the back of the flyer, I said, it's a fucking black party. You get here when you fucking get here. I didn't... Okay, you're right. I didn't read the back of the flyer.
It's pretty. Oh, God.
But he had a great goddamn time.
So when you meet Larry David, and you know the show, obviously, right. And he said, is it an offer? Is it he's seen you do something?
No. I have this thing I do when I'm acting, as an actor in auditions.
Uh-huh.
I always walk into the room as the character. I didn't know that I was going to improv directly with Larry.
Oh, really?
This is my first time.
Did you know what the character is?
I know who the character was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know who this dude is. I know, I knew the take I was going to give him.
Yeah.
I walk in the room as the character. So I don't got to turn that shit on.
Smart.
Now you're going to get a chance to see how the character is upset.
Yes.
How the character walks, his mannerisms, how he walks in the room, how he turns the doorknob.
So you do that with Larry. You just start improvising.
You got it. I do that
and everywhere.
Fuck that. I do that all the time.
So when did you know you got it?
This is a long fucking story.
Okay.
So you got to realize I fired my agent. Every fucking body.
Why?
Shit wasn't fucking working.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was disappearing.
Well, you'd been a writer on SNL for 3 years.
Yep.
And this is a couple years after.
I renewed my fourth season, but okay. I knew I wasn't going to get renewed because I fired my agent. Between me not being re-signed and me getting on Curb, literally a month and a half.
Wow.
So,
wow.
And that's the thing that, you know.
Wow.
I left there. I come to LA. My wife had told me I was going to be on Curb. That's the first thing. Because I was watching Curb, and I said, man, I love this damn show so much. I said, baby, I would love to be on this show. And I remember she was washing dishes. She was like, you know what? You're going to be on that show one day. But you say crazy stuff all the time. I can see you and Larry together.
Yeah.
And that was...
She called in.
That goes into the universe.
Shot called in.
Yep. So then my buddy, I go on the road, do some stand-up, find out my buddy passes away. I come to LA for one day. I had just met with a new agent before I left New York to go on the road. I said, well, I'm in L.A. I might as well, you know, call my agent and say hi. Called him. They said, you want to come in for a minute and meet everybody? I said, sure. I went in there. An agent comes in and said, I got an audition if you want to go on it. I said, what's it for? He said, Kirby Enthusiasm.
Weird.
I said, oh, shit. That's amazing.
Shaw.
I said, shit, I leave tomorrow morning. I might as well go right now. I drive over there. I get to the audition. There's tons of people waiting to go in there.
God.
Comedians I knew.
Oh, boy.
Friends. I'm like, oh, shit.
How weird is that?
You know, I walk in the room. I improvised with Larry. He started laughing the moment I walked in the room.
Ah.
You know, they even told me that they didn't know who Leon was until I walked in the room.
That's cool.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
That's TV magic. I was this close to not even coming to L.A.
Isn't that crazy?
Because I had to literally get off the road, change flights, and be able to go there for one day.
Wow. And you've been in the character shoes now. You've worn those shoes for how many years? For like, you know, seven, eight years. Also, I feel like people think you're you are likable. You have a likable persona.
Fuck yeah.
Despite the fact that Leon Black on Curb does some fucked up shit.
You know what? You would think he would know a lot, but he just knows the way he would handle it.
He's very confident.
He's very confident. Even though he's wearing the most fucked up outfit you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
When I'm in a scene with Larry, I have to decide as an actor what Leon would do. I got to decide whether I want to have Larry's back or go against him. If he comes to me with some crazy shit that just happened to him.
Oh, that's not established? He doesn't say to you, okay,
no,
in this
we
scene,
don't know nothing.
Nothing.
We don't know anything. If I choose to go against him, I got to have a valid, secure point I'm making.
Strong point of view.
So many times we've done the show. Larry said, what the fuck does I got to do with anything? And now I got to explain what the fuck does that have to do with anything.
Which is so rich.
I love the levels of, you got to have the levels of improvise. That means I'm telling you how to handle the shit. Now you're telling me, what the fuck does this have to do with my problem? Now I got to tell you what this has to do with your fucking problem.
Yeah.
And I got to get you back to your problem and why this has something to do with your problem, but still get you back to your fucking problem.
And your voices and points of views are so different.
Yes.
But your end goal is the same, which is like, solve the problem, and it's and your comedic points of view are the same. It's all based on truth.
I just got to count like the blessings of being able to be in the right place at the right time,
yeah.
But also situate myself in these team effort mindset.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel like I know you so much better than I do because I barely know you. I can point directly to Curb Your Enthusiasm, having seen that, not only seen the series, but I go back and watch it constantly. I watch it in a way that, like, it feels like hanging out with a friend. I saw you at an airport, and I hate running into people at airports because it's like, ah, you're right. In transit, you're dealing with, like, you probably haven't slept. I was so happy to run into you.
When we ran into each other in that airport, I felt like we could have left that airport, right?
Yeah.
Bought some, like, masks and robbed the bank, right? Took the masks off.
Yeah, you know some Richard Nixon
masks. Go to a little cafe and shit, have a little latte.
If you're going to rob a bank and you got to wear a president's mask, which president you go with?
Do I go with?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. You would think it would be Obama.
Uh-huh.
But it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
I would go with Lincoln.
Oh, huh.
For some reason, I like Lincoln. You know why? He's tall, long face like me. A certain mask won't fit my face. I need a president with a long ass face. If I got a mask on, my fucking chin is hanging out. The bottom of it. I'm going to get caught. I got this big ass dimple too.
Yeah.
They'll know it's me.
And you also can't talk. Yeah. Because you have an unmistakable. Oh.
And it's another dead giveaway.
Yeah.
You always, when you on a layover in another country, and you put your fucking mask on, you still carry your carry-on bag. You bring your luggage with you. Because after the robbery, you pull the mask off, you sit in the cafe, have your luggage sitting there like just two tourists.
And everyone's got bags.
Then you go back to the airport, check in again, and get on your fucking flight. You leave that bitch.
Smart.
That's how I felt.
Yeah, yeah.
When we ran into each other in the airport, like we could have got away with some shit. Do, 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 do,
as a podcast listener, I'm sure you know that audio piques the imagination, like especially this show. So if you really want to feel like you're in the story, check out Audible's collection of brand new exclusive thrillers.
Their titles feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. So you'll be kept on the edge of your seat.
Here's an interesting psychological thriller that is out right now. It's an Audible original. It's called Oracle. It follows an FBI psychic who can help solve missing person cases when he touches those close to the victims. But of course, it comes at a cost. He'll see the horrific moments before the victims disappeared.
Shorties, I just got chills. You have to listen along with me. You don't have to.
No.
But I think you should.
Yeah, it'd be fun. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. That's audible.com/long or text long to 500-500.
Hiring? Well, with Indeed, your search is over. Because you can get rid of the search and just match. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. That's because Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. It's constantly learning from your preferences. Basically, the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/long. Just go to Indeed.com/long right now and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/long. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up, we'll meet again.
I'm trying to imagine you as a kid. You were born in North Carolina. You moved to Mount Vernon.
Yeah. I grew up in the projects, man.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you something.
In Mount Vernon.
In Mount Vernon. And I'm going to tell you something, man. Yeah, shit. But we appreciated what the fuck we had.
And were you happy as a kid?
Fuck yeah. You get up in the morning, watch Saturday morning cartoons and shit. Watch Sunday morning karate movies. Uh-huh. What the fuck else is there, Justin?
Yeah.
To life.
And you had friends.
Fuck yeah, I had 1,000 friends.
Yeah.
In the fucking projects. People on top of you.
Right.
It's like a fucking big ass. You know what it's like? A fucking Jenga. It's like a big ass Jenga.
Yeah, how are you a loner in the project?
People living, but people live in each one of those blocks. That's all right. All it is. It's like Jenga.
And no one's really pulling them out. It's
nobody's the Jenga. No, you don't pull them out.
All right.
You leave them the fuck in there.
Yeah.
You pull them halfway out, push it back in.
Yeah.
In high school, I was known, I wasn't a class clown, I was a hallway clown.
What's the difference?
Between classes?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was on a cracking. Oh,
okay.
Oh, between classes, man.
Would you make the rounds?
Oh, man. Took the long way to class? Uh-huh. Oh, shit, man.
So you loved making people...
I just love making people laugh and have a... And I got bullied.
Really?
Chased home, all that shit.
Really?
Oh, I used to get chased the fuck home all the time.
What do you think? What do you attribute that to?
There's always a weak person in class.
Yeah.
On average, everybody has had a level in their life where they got picked on.
Yeah.
Or chased or beat up. But once you have one good fight and you win, you kind of like.
And that's what happened to you?
Fuck yeah. I fought a lot. I went from kicking, like doing like physical fights to verbal fights.
Uh-huh. And you must have won all those.
And I'm better than a good verbal ass whooping.
How would these fights happen? Because I had a much more sanitized upbringing. I grew up in the suburbs. Kids wouldn't really like, and I'd always back down from fights. I didn't want to get my hands dirty. What is it like to?
No, you don't. You only fight when you're cornered. Uh-huh. You don't fight to fight.
Mm-hmm.
I only fought when I had no choice but to fight.
Because
in high school, I was the king. They just call me Houdini. Because uh-huh. I would disappear. And they say, when they hold their fist up and put their fist over their eye and their nose and their other eye, that means they're going to kick your ass out of school. So you avoid those bullies and you take a different exit out of the school.
Mm.
And you got to know all. First thing I tell people to do, when you go into a new school, you walk around that school. You study the nuances of that school, all the exit doors.
Uh-huh.
Just in case some bullshit go down.
Uh-huh.
You walk around that school and you befriend the fucking janitor. Uh-huh. That motherfucker knows all the ways out of that shit. He can tell you all, you befriend this dude.
Yeah, he'll tell you the bowels.
You tell him that I'm
going to
get my ass beat outside in front of the school. How can I get out of this building without them seeing me?
By the way, back then in high school, you were Jerry Angelo Brooks.
Jerry Angelo Brooks, a.k.a. Jerry Angelo, also Italiano. I got to do Ancestry.com
one day
and find out Italiano, where Jerry Angelo came from.
Oh, I'm so curious now.
I'm willing to bet that it's Italian in my background.
I bet.
Italiano.
Si.
When I was over there shooting a movie, shooting Spider-Man.
That's when I ran into you, because we ran into each other in London. You were in Italy?
In Italy.
Oh, wow.
Every time I pull out my passport, they would say, hey, Jerry Angelo, welcome back. See? That means I've been there before.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not this life.
Where are you being, Jerry?
But another lifetime. Hey, Jerry. Welcome back, Jerry Angelo. Hey, everybody, look.
And look who's here.
It's Jerry.
Hey, Jerry, you look a little different.
You look a little different, Jerry.
You look Sicilian.
You Sicilian.
Do you believe in other, like, past lives? Do you think that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah?
If you think there's not a higher power, whatever you believe in, the mm-hmm. universe, you feel it. When I say stuff, I feel like I said that shit before.
Huh.
Like in the 1930s, I said that shit though.
Uh-huh.
See what I'm saying?
With a little like bowler hat.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah. Do you feel other people? Do you feel relatives who are no longer here?
Man, I got so many moments of, I can't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Like even when we talked about the curb stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain how the universe works. But I know you prepare yourself for a certain journey in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's ways of recognizing your journey. Like sometimes I'll ignore my journey. I'll ignore little things that happen because I don't want to freak out.
Can you give me an example?
I can conjure people up. My writing partner, Miles, he gets freaked out by it.
So what do you think?
He said,
man,
I don't know how you do this.
We
drive into the airport. We start talking about football. Uh-huh. And also I said, yeah, man. I said, this is amazing for T.O. that he's going into the Hall of Fame.
This is Terrell Owens for all of our non-football fans.
Park the car in the airport, uh-huh. Get on the plane. My buddy goes, I don't know how you do this, but look, we just got on the fucking plane.
That's weird.
T.O. just walks on the plane. This happens constantly.
What do you attribute that to? What do you think that is?
I don't know. I think you're playing with the universe. My whole philosophy is plant seeds and be patient and allow those seeds to grow and flourish.
So you plant seeds. Seeds. Yeah.
No matter what it is. Like the first thing I ever did before I started doing stand-up was I took an improv class at the old Improv Comedy Club in New York City. Right after my class ended, the club closed down.
Oh.
So I took that improv class, put that in my toolbox.
And JB, you're how old at this point? This is like early 20s?
Oh, shit. This is like late 80s going into the 90s.
Okay.
Then I started doing stand-up. My stand-up act was mostly improv. When I first started like playing around with it, I just was a fan of comedic actors. As far as stand-up comedians, Richard Pryor, of course, Red Fox, Bill Cosby. George Carlin.
Yeah.
When I tell you, George Carlin, as much of a fan I was of everybody, George Carlin was the one that took me to the next plateau.
Mm.
I would rent his VHS tapes over and over again.
Uh-huh.
The video store would go like, damn, man, you've rented this like 20 times. As far as comedic actors,
God, I miss
Peter Sellers.
Oh, yeah.
Is like gold to me. I just always loved comedic actors. All these little pieces, I think, are things that mold you into who you end up being.
My brother and I were talking about the idea of struggle, how struggle is kind of an asset for a lot of, certainly for entertainers.
Yes.
Did you ever reach a point where you felt like, I can't do this anymore, or the struggle's too much and I should just take the easier route?
No. You have to have confidence in what you do, number one. And you got to know you can always build a bigger house or a better mousetrap. If you're afraid to make a move, you're never going to move. That's the number one thing I think that helps anybody in life is knowing your worth and knowing what you can do.
Well, you're going toe-to-toe with, in my opinion, the greatest comedic mind of our time. You go toe-to-toe with him and make that guy laugh consistently.
My thing has always been like, I'm trying to make a snot bubble come out your nose.
Oh, is that the ultimate? Like
that's what we want.
You want a spit take.
Oh,
you want a genuine spit take.
We want this stuff out of you.
You don't want to be trying to make somebody laugh. You know, that's always the killer for improv, right? Is to like go looking for the joke. Vince Vaughn said, you know, stay grounded.
Pick your spot.
Play the intentions.
Play the intention and pick your spots.
So
the most powerful thing in improv is not saying shit. If you can improvise your way as a real estate
person,
you fucking sell a house. That house could be goofy as shit. You know what I mean?
You sell it like it's the Taj Mahal.
You could come in, you can come in the front door and trip over the toilet bowl, but you'll make that shit make sense.
Yeah, what would you say as a realtor? Oh, I just tripped. There's a toilet bowl right when I walked through the door.
You know how many times you've been rushing home to get your keys out?
Yes, that's true.
All you're thinking about is how far the bathroom is from the fucking front door.
Well, that is true.
So we put this toilet bowl right in the fucking front door.
Oh, okay. So it's right there ready for you when you...
You're never pissing yourself again. Never. Ever pissing yourself again.
That's a good point.
See? Good fucking point.
That's what I love about the show The Bachelor, and I've talked about this way too much, but The Bachelor to me is a really bad improv. A friend of mine who used to direct the show Friday Night Lights, he said he was talking about how some people are adept at improv and some just can't do it. And he described, I said, well, how would you articulate bad improv? And he said, they play the subtext of the scene. So it's a lot of, right now I'm having such a good time with you and the thing we just did was so fun. And they're just pointing out the obvious
shit. They're trying to sell themselves.
Right.
We watch the show, so we fucking love the show.
Yeah.
But we could pick out the guys that are going home. We could pick out the bullshitters.
Oh, yeah.
We have become masters of this shit.
You're watching
it now?
We study
human nature, all the little things.
Yes,
thank
you.
All those nuances about this dude right here. This dude ain't going, she is not going to pick this dude.
You can tell.
He's fucking around right now. He's just coasting right now.
Yeah.
But you do have to know how to sell yourself without selling yourself.
Yes. And you know, the guy who's succeeding right now is doing exactly what you're talking about. He's measured. He's not forcing anything. He's not overselling. And he's clearly like a sociopath.
You have got to have that lane. You also got to know what the fuck is going on with other guys. Don't repeat shit. Don't catch what they got.
You're watching now with Hannah B.
Yeah, Hannah B. watching that shit.
Who?
You know what I hate? When people get on the show and they act like they never seen the show.
Yeah, yeah.
That bugs me so bad. Wait a fucking minute. You act like you never seen this shit before. You know what goes down? You know the routine?
Right.
This shit's been on 10 years. How you don't know what this is?
It bothers me that she's seeing other guys and like,
that's
it bothers
you. That's what the fucking
show
is. Right. You're one of 30 dudes. Right. Oh, you're one of 30 women.
But it's great because they all become competitive. All these guys. So and in this season, they all want to beat each other.
That's the thing. I don't like guys who get on the show and instantly say they're falling in love with the person. Everybody says the same thing.
How about this?
They're really falling in love with you.
You know what I can't stand now is how they all jump up. She jumps up on every one of them now. It used to
We talk about this all the time.
It's become rote.
It's become the routine.
Yeah.
You run up. You jump up and wrap your legs around this dude.
There's nothing behind it. Now it happens on their second date. And it happens out of nowhere. There's no chemistry. There's no connection.
They're wrapping legs around people.
And then they peck each other a little bit awkwardly. It's weird.
I don't understand it.
I know. Well, because they've all seen the show, obviously. And that's what happens on the show eventually. When they go, maybe the hometowns, they're like, I haven't seen you in a couple of days. And they run up to each other. And they
jump and wrap their legs around them. Yeah. That's the thing I don't understand.
Yeah, well, it's all.
I mean, is there
it's a bad
level
improv.
Are there steps to get to that point?
There should be. There should be. There
to
used
jump
to be.
Up, wrap around.
Now that's the second date. The second time
they're going on a one-on-one.
Yeah.
They jump on them and wrap their legs around them.
You had an amazing job at one point. You were a perfumer. What do you call that?
I've done some worldly.
Perfume formulator.
Some worldly stuff.
Yeah. How did that happen? You're, as a perfume.
Again, these are things that will mold you into the person that you're going to be for the rest of your life.
But what? How does somebody become a
perfume? That's my first after school job. I was going for the wrestling team.
Uh-huh.
I had already put an application in with my counselor. So I want an after school job.
This is high
school. I want to buy me a car. So I was in the wrestling room, and my counselor comes in the room and says, Brooks, a job came through for you. So I sat there like, damn. Do I want to wrestle these dudes?
Or
do I want to buy my first car? I'm going to pull these tights off.
Uh-huh.
Let me get my ass that guy's out. Let me at it.
You ripped the singlet off Macho Man Randy Savage.
I tore the whole front up.
Yeah.
That job was, let me tell you, it was a small perfumery, which is a perfect place for Jerry Angelo to be.
Jerry Angelo sounds like
Jerry
a perfume.
Angelo Italiano.
You want a scent? I give you, my nose
my
is
My boss
very
was
good.
Italian. His name was Ray Marotta.
I wonder if he thought you were Italian.
That's maybe why he picked me for the job.
What was that interview like?
It wasn't even an interview. I just had to go in there. He showed me around.
Uh-huh.
He needed someone after school. I walk around with him. He showed me all the ropes. Had me packing boxes in the beginning.
Okay.
And then he had me filling bottles with perfumes. Then he had me helping him mix perfumes.
Really?
I think right now, with a few household ingredients, I could fuck around and make an amazing cologne for you.
Oh, yeah. I would love that. You must have a really refined sense of smell then.
No.
No?
Amazing sense of smell.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, man. No, I'm telling you. I worked with lavender.
Which could be bad.
Rosemary. All these amazing ingredients, man.
Really?
Oh, and the alcohol, it must be 190 proof. It's like, it was so like intense. So I would have to put it in these big glass beakers.
Uh-huh.
And everything. He would show me how to weigh it.
Wow.
He would create it. He would show me how to make perfume.
Was he grooming you to be his kind of protege?
Perfumery, what's it called? Apprentice.
Apprentice, yes.
Yeah. Yes. I stayed there for a few years, and I learned a lot.
What'd you learn as a perfume formulator?
I learned how to measure, patience, let it breathe, let things breathe.
Again, important for improv.
Yeah, you let it breathe.
Yeah,
learned,
don't rush things.
Don't rush things, man. This guy, he was already 75 years old when I started working there.
An old Italian guy.
This old Italian dude.
Was he hurt when you said you had to leave for greener pastures?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I went to college. I graduated, went to school.
Where'd you go?
I went to, first I did a community college first, because I wanted to stay home for a little while longer.
Uh-huh.
And then I graduated. I studied engineering, drafting, and also graphic design.
And did your parents want you to go into something like that, something more practical, like engineering?
Nah. They knew what we did well.
Yeah.
I'm a big brother, too, so. For me, I always wanted to set an example. So I think education is something you have under your belt as a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you go into sports, whether you go into entertainment, there's nothing better than that base of knowing a lot about something.
Of course.
You know, it really pays off.
Yeah.
I mean, we sit in calculus class like, I'm not going to use this shit ever. But it's not that you're using the calculus formulas.
Yeah.
You're using the process of building something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everything has a formula to it.
Sure.
It's not that you need to know that you're going to use this fucking algebra anywhere.
Yeah.
You ain't pull that shit out yet.
That's true.
It's not the algebra. It's the formulations of putting
the
shit
process.
In order. The process
right,
of it
right.
is going to take your ass a long way.
So you're there, you're in school, and then at what point when you're sitting in these classes, are you daydreaming about becoming a performer? Are you still
daydreaming ass? You know what I mean? But I'm gonna tell you, I fucked around in eighth grade, met like three or four dudes who were just as fun as myself,
uh-huh.
and got caught up in that shit. I had all D's in eighth grade,
uh-huh.
and two F's.
God, how did you turn that around?
I said to myself, what the fuck was I doing? You know what I mean? I was always a good student. And all of a sudden, that shit hit the fan.
Did you think
all
it wasn't?
All D's.
Were you just preoccupied with socializing with those guys? Or
we just started playing too much.
Uh-huh.
But the thing about it was, my high school, we had an eighth grade school.
There was a separate eighth grade school?
It was.
Oh.
So what happened was, they got too crowded. Uh-huh. So they had another group of eighth graders that went to the high school.
Hmm.
So they gave us our own little area in the high school.
Whoa.
That was just eighth graders.
Oh, so
oh, you can't put eighth graders in a high school.
Oh my God, yeah.
We're still trying to figure out shit
out. Of course.
Man, that was the biggest shock.
You must have been, so you were like a class, that's why you say you were the hallway clown.
Man, we had so much damn fun. I was on the football team.
Oh, really?
Oh, man. Wide receiver. Oh, wide receiver, man. We started having fun. I'm still friends with the same dudes I grew up with.
Really?
Yes.
They were at your 50th?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Hey, man.
What do they think of your success? How do they?
I don't make what I do important.
Yeah.
You know, I make what I do something, and a getaway from things that are taking over your brain. I don't take it as, you know, I don't see myself as.
You're not saving the world.
Yeah, I'm cool being what I do.
Yeah,
I'm cool being what I do.
Yeah.
I don't need.
Well, that's a very.
I don't need to be that. I just need to motivate people.
Have you
motivate? You know, the Boys and Girls Club kids.
Yeah. Oh, you still do that.
That? Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That's my number one thing.
How did that start?
Were you part of that program? I grew up a Boys and Girls Club kid.
Oh, wow.
I've been involved with them all my life.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's really
I host
cool.
all the galas.
That's cool.
I do all the PSAs.
How did that help you as a kid?
Oh, man. It was a place to go. I used to walk past the Boys and Girls Club to go home, do my homework, come back out, and go to the club, man. Long-lasting friends. I still got the same friends I grew up with who are part of the Boys and Girls Club.
Wow. Were your parents funny? Did they joke around a lot? Did they recognize?
My mom is the most hilarious probably person you ever going to meet.
Uh-huh.
My mom is hilarious.
What's her name?
Elizabeth Whitehead. You call her Miss Whitehead.
Miss Whitehead.
She's freaking hilarious. Uh-huh. Hilarious. And you get these things, you get certain things from your parents, your family. You get little things that build your character and build who you are.
What'd you get from your dad, do you think?
My dad was a hard working guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I also learned things. I learned a little bit of both. You know, I learned things that upset him. I learned things that he loved to do.
What would upset him?
You know, I think when you work hard and you're trying to provide for your family.
Yeah.
I remember one time they hired this, my father at this lighting company for years. I mean, forever. A younger guy came in and they gave him a foreman's job above my father.
Huh.
Oh, my father was heated, man.
Was it a white guy? Was it a red
guy? White guy.
Yeah.
He quit the job. He said, "No, what? Fuck them."
Really?
Yeah. You know, he ended up getting another job, but he was
principal
like,
though.
I don't think he actually ever recovered from
really
the slight, the being slighted.
I think
when you put a lot of years into something.
Oh God, yeah.
It's nothing worse than expecting something.
Yeah.
And you work hard and you put years in and all of a sudden you're not.
It's a betrayal.
It's a betrayed.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a betrayal. So
he carried that with him, you think?
Yeah. I think that happens whether you own your own business or whether you're working someplace. And it kind of defeats you when
it's demoralizing.
Yeah, it defeats you a little bit when you're not, you know, what you expect out of something.
So when things
and the work you put into it, and you want people to respect your character, hard work, your work ethic, but you also want people to respect your presence.
Yeah,
your presence.
Sure, that's your especially
your presence is like there's certain
that's
things
your
you
purpose.
Already say certain things you can't get back immediately.
Yeah,
you know they already say you know. You're going to meet someone for the first time once. All those things are true.
Mm-hmm.
You really are. Whatever you give that person the first time you meet them, that's who you are.
Yeah, it's first impressions are really
that's
big.
First impression. That's who the fuck you're supposed to be.
When did you change your name to JB Smoove?
I used to be a dancer. I used to dance for hip hop groups and R&B groups.
Oh, wow.
So I'm talking about back in the day.
Ooh-wee. Yeah, like.
You know, my name was Jay Smoove.
He was like a fly guy.
And my partner's name was Jay Groove. It was Groove and Smoove.
Oh, wow.
And man, we used to get
Groove
down,
and Smoove.
Man. You know how Big Daddy Kane had Scrap and Scoop and Scrap?
I wish I did.
You know Big Daddy Kane?
I know Big Daddy Kane. I know Big Daddy Kane. Have I ever sounded whiter?
I just can't hold back and forth because I'm a man with soul in effect. So what the heck? Rock the discotheque and this groove is what's next.
Just in case people are confused, that was JB doing that. It wasn't me. I call him Father Kanenstein.
We used to.
His
used
full name.
That's a really cool name. I'll take that. Put that in my wallet. I used to. We
so you
used
to dance to stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, man. You got to realize. I grew up in the heyday of hip hop.
Yeah.
So when I tell you, there's probably not a party or plateau in hip hop that I was not either there or I wasn't carrying the records for the guy who was DJing that night.
Really?
Like anything you could think of, I was there. I've seen every major plateau. I seen Eddie Murphy become Eddie Murphy. I seen Arsenio Hall become Arsenio Hall. I seen Mike Tyson become champion. I used to be at parties dancing on the dance floor and see them walking parties together. Uh-huh. Like, oh shit, the champ. He's 19-year-old Mike Tyson.
Walking
in the club.
No, you know? Shit.
With Eddie Murphy, with Arsenio, with whoever.
And what stopped you as I can't imagine you restraining yourself from going up to them and saying, hey man,
nah,
I just want to.
No.
No.
No. You chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
They in the same party as you.
Yeah.
You, once you are in the same room as people, you are with them.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
Want to hear a really satisfying sound? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. With Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts, you can start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I've been loving learning Spanish because I love traveling to Spanish-speaking countries, and I just want to be better at communicating with the people. I love the people there, and I want to be able to get to know them better. I also love the food, so I'd like to be better at ordering food so I don't order the wrong thing. They teach you very practical, real-world language skills. And here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/long. Get 55% off at babbel.com/long, spelled BABBEL.com/long. Rules and restrictions may apply. If you run an e-commerce business, you know the amount of work it takes to produce something great.
So if you want to optimize your workflow and reduce costs, ShipStation is the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates wherever you sell online.
ShipStation's simple dashboard makes managing orders, smooth label printing, reporting, and customer service unbelievably easy.
With shipping configurations automatically applied, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online.
Plus, save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off UPS, DHL Express, and USPS rates. Over 130,000 companies have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation.
ShipStation is the innovative tool that helps turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth.
Go to ShipStation.com and use code LONG to sign up for your free 60-day trial.
That's ShipStation.com, code LONG.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up we'll meet again.
Did you spend a lot of time thinking about your, or any time thinking about your legacy, thinking about what's next, or how you're remembered?
I'm always thinking about my body of work. You look where I started from. Once you are afraid that you're going to fail,
yeah,
you probably are going to fail.
Mm.
But if you're not afraid to learn from your failures or to learn from a decision you made, like sometimes I take weird chances on shit.
Yeah.
But I stick to my guns on it, and I got to live with it.
What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of anything?
I think I'm afraid.
No, are you afraid of death?
I'm not. I'm more afraid of how people who I love will feel.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more that kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's why when you throw the party, you want people to have fun.
Let me tell you something. We had our wedding in our backyard of our new house. We moved here from when I did SNL, and I got the Curb job. We packed our shit up in a Penske truck, and we drove across country, right? We drove across my wife, myself, and our little doggy.
That's cool.
And we drove across country through three storms. We left on a 7 p.m. on a Thursday night, got here 1 in the afternoon on a Sunday.
Wow.
The next day, I had to be on set.
Wow.
So we don't fuck around.
What's your dog's name?
I got three dogs. Lovely is our 15-year-old effing pincher, and we just got two puppies named Hustle and Flo.
I should have guessed that. So you get out there at 1 p.m. Next day, you got to work.
Oh, so what I was saying was we meet people every day. We met a guy in a sushi restaurant. Two dudes in a sushi restaurant, like a few days before our wedding. And they were so goddamn cool, we invited them to our wedding. We just was in there at the sushi bar having freaking avocado rolls and shit. And they kept sending shit over. Hey, try this one. You're going to love this one. This is my favorite roll.
And were the Japanese guys?
No.
Oh.
Two white dudes. We ended up inviting them to our wedding.
That's hilarious.
We at the wedding, giving our speech at the wedding. We want to thank everybody for coming out. Uh-huh. We got so-and-so. I haven't seen this guy in years. We got, hey, give a shout-out to my two friends we just met last week at the sushi bar.
People probably thought you were kidding.
Yeah.
What is 15 years ago. What? That's amazing. Do you still see him?
Yeah, we're still staying in contact.
Oh, really?
That's really funny. Crazy shit.
So I just have short ones, quick ones, or they can be whatever.
How in your business, man? We are connecting souls right now.
Yeah. What is your most commonly used emoji?
Oh, the heart emoji is my favorite.
Yeah.
And the is there one with the blowing a kiss?
Oh, yeah.
And then the one with the heart eyes.
Okay, all right.
And so the fire. Fire is fire.
Oh, yeah.
That shit fire.
You'll finish off
that shit is fire.
Passion.
Passion. Fire is joint.
If you could be a professional athlete, what sport would you play?
Football, of course.
Wide receiver.
Wide receiver football.
You're a Jets fan.
But I also grew up loving funny car racing.
Oh, funny car.
I used to watch funny car racing for hours.
You mean like go-kart?
Funny cars. What's fucking dragsters.
Oh,
racing
drag
cars.
Straight
line.
Oh, okay.
Quarter mile.
You like to drive?
I love driving.
What do you drive?
I think, oh man, I'm old school. Uh-huh. I don't have a new car.
Okay.
I got a 68 Lincoln.
Wow.
Suicide doors. I got a 2008 first edition Dodge Challenger SRT8. One of the first runs, they only made 6,500.
Wow.
Also have a 2008 International MXT diesel truck. Fucking diesel. Fucking real freight. A fucking truck.
Well, I have a 20.
A grown man truck.
Yeah. I have a similar car. I have a 2005 Prius. A Toyota Prius.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fucking nice.
Man's car. So
first,
I get it.
That's the first turn. That's the first turn in guys' economy.
Yeah.
And I have a 2010 Dodge Ram.
One snack food for the rest of your life.
Oh, snack food?
Yeah.
Would you consider peanut butter and jelly sandwiches as snacks?
No.
How about peanut butter and jelly on saltine crackers?
Yeah, more of a snack.
Oh, fucking hors d'oeuvres.
So do you go like Reese's?
Hors d'oeuvres. Hors d'oeuvres.
Right.
That's my go-to. If I run out of bread,
yeah,
I always have a box of saltine crackers. So I make a whole plate full of peanut butter and jelly hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, old school.
And I just fucking eat them.
You are old school, new school.
I'm old school, new.
What's your favorite movie of all time? I think you answered.
Oh, see.
Top three.
Oh, my all-time movie of all time. Anything Peter Sellers is always my favorite.
Being There?
No. The Party is one of my favorite.
Oh, The Party.
The Party. I also fell in love with Burt Reynolds movies, man.
Oh, yeah?
Smokey and the Bandit.
I don't know.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And Claudine is my favorite movie of all time.
I don't know that one. What, Claudine? I got to check
Claudine, man. James Earl Jones. Diane Carroll, man.
Wow.
Oh, man. Fucking amazing movie, man.
Old school, new.
You want some soul?
Yeah.
You watch that shit.
I need soul.
Watch that shit. That's some soul to that shit.
Claudine.
Harlem.
Okay.
They live in Harlem. She's a single mother. James Earl Jones comes into her life. Oh, man. Fucking amazing movie, man.
They
fall in love. They fall out of love. Yeah, it's a fucking amazing movie.
Claudine. If you could have dinner with three people dead or alive whom you've never met. Whew. Those people that you can't approach.
Peter Sellers.
Okay.
Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye Sr.
No.
No, I'm kidding.
I'm Marvin Gaye Sr.
Yeah, no.
I don't like to trust that dude.
Yeah. Either did his son.
Shit.
Sorry, too soon.
And maybe Gandhi.
Okay.
Somebody with some, someone I could throw my philosophy on.
Yeah.
Have him doing this right here. Like,
ponder that.
Ponder
Gandhi.
That shit.
Yeah.
Pulls his glasses off. He cleans his glasses on his robe. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He wipes his glasses on his robe, puts his glasses back on. You intrigue me.
I can't do a Gandhi
I'm intrigued
impression.
By your getting that ass statement.
Oh, I would love to see that dinner.
Fuck.
Who's your favorite Muppet? Are you into the Muppets?
Fuck yeah, I'm into the Muppets, man.
Who do you identify with?
I love Kermit, but Fozzie. I like Fozzie, too.
Entertainer.
Miss Piggy Thick.
Yeah, both entertainers.
Miss Piggy Thick. They call that shit thick.
Yeah. Well, you like...
She's thick.
So you like the thickness of her?
No, I'm just saying she's thick.
She's thick.
Sometimes I'm into that kind of shit.
Yeah,
but I think I like Kermit, man.
Yeah.
Kermit, my dude, man.
Yeah. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Oh, I want to be able to fly.
Okay.
But I don't want to be able to fly low because I'm scared of heights. Mm. So I want to be able to fly, but real low. Mm. Like low to the ground.
Yeah, like a paper airplane.
Yeah, really. No, I'm talking about really low.
Oh.
Like
one of those cruisers in Star Wars.
Like waist high. Like that. Like hoverboard high.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like yeah, yeah. But what, so you just want to be able to get different places faster.
No, a better power is a power of persuasion.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's pretty fucking good too.
What? Yeah, I'm sure you use it.
Yeah, why not?
What non-human animal would you want to be? Who do you, now people say he's my spirit animal. Who would your spirit animal be?
You know what I fucking love? What? Love giraffes.
Ah,
oh,
I can see
fucking
that.
Love them.
Well, you have an elongated...
I'm very long, long and lean up here.
Yeah.
I'm very long and lean.
And they're up in the trees.
I love a fucking giraffe.
Checking everything out.
They walk around and shit.
Yeah.
Very prideful. You'll see a fucking giraffe walk around. They got pride.
They can hang their heads. It would break their necks.
Their fucking necks are long.
Dogs or cats? I know this answer.
Dogs all day. Yeah. All day.
Hustle and flow.
Hustle and fucking flow. Lovely. We call that sexy lovely. I'm telling you, my dog is online. Google JB Smoove and Google lovely JB Smoove and lovely.
Okay. I had
lovely comes
too.
Up.
Yeah.
She's presented at the World Dog Awards 3 times.
I don't know what that means, but I love it.
The World Dog Awards, man. It's a famous award show.
Oh, really? They give awards to dogs?
Yes.
Like, who does
you know
fancy...
how many TV dogs they are?
They're, oh, that's true.
Commercial dogs?
That's true.
Dogs that save lives?
Yeah, that's
they
true.
They honor all the dogs.
Oh, wow.
She's presented 3 times.
So I'm guessing you've been.
Fuck yeah, I've been. I'm a dog. I'm a fucking dog owner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lovely does not. They're on their own.
We've been there. We've all, my wife, myself, Sha, we've been to the dog awards 3 years.
I can't wait to Google that. Beatles, Stones.
Stones all day.
Really?
Quick little fucking story.
Yeah.
I'm in Craig's restaurant, one of our favorite restaurants. We're sitting there having a meal. We're sitting next to a table behind us in the corner. And we can hear them talking. They're having a good ass time. And then one of the ladies taps me on the shoulder. She said, oh my God, we love you so much on Curb Your Enthusiasm. We work for Mick Jagger. Mm-hmm. He freaking loves you to death. I said, what? Mick Jagger loves me? He said, no, he loves you.
She's like, Mike Jagger.
She said, Mick Jagger. Mike Jagger. Mick Jagger loves you. I said, what? That's a fucking honor. I said, I love Mick Jagger. I said, Tom, you give him my love. This was like a year or two ago.
Yeah.
He's on tour. He's in Ireland right now. He's performing a bunch of shows. If you show up, he would fucking lose his marbles. I said, I wish I could go, but God damn it, I'm working on a show right now. But man, if I didn't have shit to do, you think I wouldn't have showed up for my man Mick Jagger?
Yeah.
Big shout out to my man Mick Jagger. I appreciate the love.
Wait, you didn't
I didn't fucking go.
Oh, okay.
I was working. I couldn't go. But it was just ironic that you brought up Beatles or the Stones.
Wow.
Yo, man, Mick Jagger, man. I can't wait to meet him.
Mick, he's hopefully listening.
Hope he.
I know most of the Stones.
He's back on his feet, too. He had an operation.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's amazing he's still doing it.
I want to come on tour with you, man. We would love to come out to Ireland or wherever you are in the world, man. My man.
This
would be a great episode of Curb.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I bet he'd want to do it. And this is dark, and I hate ending on it.
But no.
Your epitaph? What do you want your epitaph to be? Or do you want to be buried? Do you want to be...
No, I just... No, I'm so fresh.
Yeah.
I'm so fucking fresh.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to stand around. Chill out.
Yeah.
That's cool? Is that cool?
Please do.
Fuck, why not?
It's better for the world if you do that.
It's much better for the fucking world.
Yeah. Where's your next stand-up date?
Man, my tour, my Lotta Gagging tour. Yeah. So far, we knocked out 2 already. If you follow me on Instagram, snap. Uh-huh. JB Smoove.
That's what it is?
Yeah. Oh, snap.
How many O's?
Just O-H. S-N-A-P. Oh, snap. JB Smoove. You know how many times I've heard that?
Oh, snap.
Walk down New York Street.
Yeah.
Oh, snap. JB Smoove.
Oh, really?
What up, JB?
Oh, yeah.
What up, fool?
Is that what you do?
What up, fool? I said, what up, fool? That's my thing. What up, fool?
Do you ever see white guys trying to seem like hipper and like more kind of cool around you?
You know what?
Do you ever get that sense that they're like, Jay, what up?
Hey, what up, JB?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I bet.
I love it, man. I think we're all one.
Yeah.
I
see
think
that.
Most people realize that we're all one thing in this world, man. It's going to be so fun. Yeah. I can't wait. I hope I get a chance to see the oneness of not just this country, but the oneness of the world.
I know.
We're going to hit this thing where we're all going to be so relatable to each other that there's not going to be anything that makes us different.
Well, you have more than done your part, I think, just culturally, but by being on a show like Curb that everyone, black, white, Asian, everyone watches that show.
It increases your demographics. And the demographics have exceeded, you know, even on my tour, you know, I really love that so many different people come out.
Really?
People actually fly into the country.
From Ireland.
Ireland?
You know, the Stones could do that.
I met people from Ireland, Prague, London, who fly into Carolines. My next date is Carolines in New York.
Carolines.
Six big shows.
They can find all the tour dates on
JB Smooth.
Do a lot of people call you JB Smooth? Do they get it wrong?
Sometimes they'll do that.
Yeah.
They'll say Smooth.
Do you correct them?
They'll write Smooth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But it's all good.
And the next season of Curb premieres?
I don't know. I'm waiting around.
That's right. It's whenever he wants, right?
Whenever Larry wants to fucking drop it. We're all done shooting, though.
Oh, you're done. Season 10.
10 is done.
Ow.
Which is a plateau.
Oh, yeah.
When I first met Larry, I told Larry. My first thing on set, I asked Larry how many seasons he was going to do. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. You know, he didn't know.
Uh-huh.
But I said, whatever you do, man, think about how cool the box set is going to look.
Yeah.
A certain amount of, don't stop on a weird goofy ass number.
Yeah,
and now we at 10.
You don't get
amazing fucking number.
Right, it's scary because what if he stops at that? You know, but I can see him stopping at like 11 or some goofy number,
some weird number and shit. Then he got to explain why
13 and a half,
13 and a fucking half.
Yeah,
which is not a bad idea.
Yeah,
like 13 and a half.
Well, I can't wait.
Yep. Then of course we got the amazing. We got Spider-Man.
Yeah, when is that?
That's Far From Home.
Far From Home is
July 2nd.
Oh, that'll be fun.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun to see. Take your family.
It'll be fun, man. We got our red carpet coming. We got our premiere coming up.
You're going to look smooth.
Smooth as fuck, man.
Yeah. You look smooth now. Like, you come in wearing, I always see you look good.
Hey,
you are conscientious about
dressing. I'm very fashion forward.
Yeah, you are.
Very fashion conscious.
I should point out that you're wearing sunglasses right now.
You're goddamn right I'm wearing sunglasses.
But I don't need to see your eyes. I can feel you. And it's been such
a joy.
I feel you.
Look at us.
Yeah.
Look at us.
We're communing. I can't thank you enough for doing this.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you, guys. We love you.
So that fucking happened.
So
that fucking happened.
That motherfucking happened.
Oh, my God. Is there anything better than not only hearing that guy say words, but specifically fuck?
I know. He says it in such a different way than me because, you know what I think it is? For so many years, we were not allowed to say that word. So even now, during my formative years when I was learning language and developing communication skills, if I wanted to say fuck, I would have to say it like this. I would have to say it like this. Fuck.
I remember that.
Yeah, I still...
You still put a weird... the vowel in it sounds a little fuck. Weird. It's like, fuck.
Yeah, I pull back on it.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, it's just subconscious. In fact, I remember the first time I ever cursed out loud. I remember it. I was on the playground in third grade. And
Where do you spend most of your days?
Yeah, chilling out, max and relax and shooting some b-ball. West Fairfield, Connecticut. Remember that playground behind Riverfield? It was massive. And so I went away from everybody. I made sure I was way out of earshot from everyone else. And I just, to myself, I just went, ass.
That's so weird.
I know, ass was
God,
my first.
Wouldn't you love the ability to go back and see that?
So badly. It seems like, I can't believe I'm saying this about myself, but it seems like it probably looked pretty funny and cute.
Oh my God.
You know, I had a little bowl cut.
If you don't say so yourself.
I know. But I was a tiny kid.
Yeah,
I had an art problem.
Were cute.
I guess I was cute. I know,
it's just weird that you said that.
I know. I bet it was cute.
I bet I was adorable saying that.
But for days after, I was guilty. But you're right. I felt guilt. I remember praying, I'm so sorry.
He seems like he never had a problem with that.
Because
he really owns it. But when he's talking about serious stuff, he doesn't swear at all.
Oh,
when he was talking about his parents, when he was talking about when his dad lost his job, when he was talking about more serious things, he didn't swear. I thought it was really interesting.
Huh.
It's almost just become so part of his comedic persona that I wonder.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just a coincidence. Oh, the story of Larry coming to his birthday party is so funny.
Yeah.
Because he paints the picture. He's so good at telling stories that... He has, I also noticed this about him, he has a sort of conspiratorial tone about him sometimes he's like, here's the fucking thing.
I sure did.
And he's very like,
yes, hush, hush.
Hush, hush. And it's like, let me tell you something. And he says crazy shit.
Well, that's his way of saying, Vince Vaughn has this great line where he goes, you know, a lot of people will say, let me paint the picture for you. And Vince's line is, let me set the table. Let me set the table. Larry walks in and he does, that's his way of setting the table for everyone. Okay. Just make sure you're listening to me.
Yeah. And the story he tells about the robbing the bank, not, it didn't happen obviously, but just picturing the two of you wearing president's masks, robbing a bank is so funny and easy to picture.
Yeah.
Because of the way it was set up, you know, like that's such an absurd thing to picture. You two would never do that together, obviously, but the way he set it up, I had such a clear image of that Lincoln mask on his face with his chin hanging down underneath it and you behind him wearing like a, well, like a Calvin Coolidge mask or something, something less.
What president would I wear? I was trying to think of my mind went blank. I don't know. What's a good president?
Like a more obscure one that no one would have.
Yeah, like Pierce.
Like Chester A. Arthur.
Zachary Taylor.
Millard Fillmore.
Oh, yeah.
You'd make a great Millard Fillmore.
Thank you.
It'd be a funny Halloween costume. Just dress as some obscure president and be really incredulous when someone asks what you were. A Millard Fillmore. President. Hello.
James K. Polk. Anyone?
He was the president of the United States.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? I mean, we've talked about this on the show before, but just in terms of legacy that like... These people are now to us, they're like footnotes. They're just names that like most people don't know.
I know. When we were driving yesterday, we saw W.C. Fields Avenue or something. And he was this amazing, legendary comedic performer. And now he's
the biggest star in the world.
Oh, huge, massive. And now he's just like a little street in L.A.
He's a drive.
I mean, I'm sure he's more than that to his family.
Well, yeah. To the Fields. He's also a field somewhere. W.C. Fields Field. He's a baseball diamond.
When he was talking about his cars and all the cars he drove, I could tell, obviously, because I know you, that you don't know much about cars.
Oh, I was so out
of
my
element. He was naming each one. He's like, oh, I have the 1978, this and that. I mean, I don't know about cars.
Dodge, Tracker.
But he was describing each of them, and you sort of weakly went, whoa. Oh, cool. I knew you didn't know anything. He's like, yeah, no, I know. I also, and then like,
he started naming more. He got like, excited. Oh. He really lit up about cars. I wish, I know. I don't know anything about cars.
Here's where he differs from Wolfgang Puck. His snack his snack choice of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on saltines. Motherfucking saltines.
Saltines.
Peanut butter made, if you guys didn't listen to the Wolfgang Puck episode, peanut butter makes him nauseous. Yeah. Just the smell of it.
It was one of the few times Wolfgang Puck didn't seem at all like positive or buoyant. Peanut butter was brought up. He seemed disgusted by it. He got this look about him like, ugh, I can't believe you even mentioned that around my presence.
I could listen to J.B. Smoove say the words peanut butter and jelly on saltines all day. I was so disappointed when the conversation ended. I was like, no, I wanted more.
Motherfucking saltines.
Peanut butter jelly on motherfucking saltines.
Oh, it's the best.
His dinner, I thought, sounded incredible.
Oh, yeah. Who was in his...
Marvin Gaye Jr. Thanks for specifying. Peter Sellers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Gandhi.
Gandhi. I loved what he said about Gandhi, how he was like, I would want Gandhi there to like, you know, I'd want to like...
Learn from him.
Yes. Share your wisdom. Yeah. And instead, he was like, I want to share my wisdom with him.
Because I want to throw my philosophy on him.
Yes, yes. And have him be like, It's funny to think about Gandhi and wanting Gandhi to be around Gandhi just so you can be like, in your face, Gandhi. What's up? What's up, Gandhi?
Oh, my God. And of all the funny paintings he painted with his stories in this show, I think that the funniest image was him flying, but he's afraid of heights.
Oh, yeah.
So him flying at a low height. So picturing JB's
he pictured
just like hovering around is such a funny picture to me. But just to be a little bit above people just to see what's going on.
Well, that's why maybe he likes giraffes.
Yeah.
And same mentality.
He's so good at just in general, those short questions, he's so good at answering them because he's just so quick. You know,
I could see him light up. He got really excited by some of them too. I'm now picturing, you're right, it's really funny to picture JB Smoove
hovering.
It's so
God,
funny. JB on a Segway would be really funny. I mean, anyone on a Segway is funny to picture. but he might be the funniest.
Well, I'm going to go Google JB Smoove dog and JB Smoove birthday party.
You should all be doing that right now. What are you doing listening to this? So let's wrap this up so we can all Google that stuff. And thank you guys for listening. I hope you had as much fun, even half as much fun as I did talking to JB Smoove. We'll see you next week.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
Thank you guys for listening to Life is Short. If you enjoyed the show, leave us a motherfucking review. We are reading all of them. We love hearing from you guys. They've been very helpful. And tell your friends to subscribe. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and every major listening app, as well as Wondery.com. You could also support the show by answering a survey on Wondery.com/survey. Life is Short is hosted by me, Justin Long. It's produced by Christian Long and Megan Monaco. Michelle Lanz is our motherfucking senior producer, executive produced by Marshall Louie and Hernan Lopez for Wondery. And our theme song is performed by our pal, Armar Superstar.
She slid into Dean's DMs.
What are DMs?
She slid into his DMs.
What's DMs?
Direct message.
On Instagram, direct message.
You can direct message someone.
What do you mean she slid into it?
That's a good question. It's like a
so
slang.
You swoop in. It's like
it's
you
slang
like,
for like.
And she knows this guy?
No, you don't Dean, need to know the person.
She knows him as a. She doesn't know him. She knows of him from The Bachelor.
So what has that got to do with anything? With that?
Well,
she's
basically
accusing her of having. Her priorities not being the right place. She's basically saying,
yeah,
you weren't ready to marry Colton. Colton's looking for a wife. You were looking to slide into this other guy's DMs.
She's trying to get hook up with another famous guy.
Yeah.
Basically saying you're trying to like climb a fame ladder. And
famous? This guy?
Dean. He's famous in the Bachelor world. Can you imagine like saying like, yeah,
like the
Dean.
Bachelor verse?
He's such an unremarkable person to be like,
I know.
Dean.
All right, well, I don't remember him, so okay, let's go on.
Okay.
Bachelor Nation.
But now you know what sliding into DMs means.
Okay.
So Mo.
Direct messages.
No, but what's the expression?
Sliding into Dean's DMs.
No. No, that's just, those are the specific DMs that she slid
sliding
into.
Sliding into DMs.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I haven't found
it. We just explained it.
Well, just you hook up with somebody through internet and follow them.
You send them a direct private message.
A private message
like,
on their Instagram.
Like, I want you as a boyfriend.
Sure.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the new kids and family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.